Welcome to NFT Happy Hour with this amazing new PFP. Who was the creator? We don't know, but God bless her. So today we're gonna discuss different things. I know that you have been following your posts and they were spicy. So please join us, give us a little introduction while I got things ready behind the scenes.
So I guess no music today, so I'll be happy to entertain everyone. Hope you all doing good on this Friday, and I have my drink. I usually don't drink actually on Fridays. I usually drink during the week, but I got actually a glass of wine because I don't have any liquor in my house because I drank it all, I guess, last time. So got my glass of red wine, and I don't know, Maria, I think the PFP is awesome, by the way, and I know who made it. It was someone from Fiverr, I think, an artist from Fiverr. Is that true?
Yes, Asif, but glad you like it. It was recycled from 4 years ago, you know, so pretty on point, to be honest. You know, guys, this guy had the courage to make me host these spaces with an AI PFP of a man. And I was like, I can't understand this anymore. We have to fix this.
How do you know that was AI? How do you know that I didn't make that?
Well, first of all, because you told me, okay?
All right, but you just blew it for everybody else. But all right. Yeah, it was AI. and I made another one, and the guy had all gray hair. I was like, nah, I'm not going to put that one. I'll put the younger one. So I put the other guy. So this one's way better. It actually looks like a happy hour-esque PFP. It's perfect for the account, and I'll work on the banner. The banner was good when I made it, but I think now it could use a little overhaul. I'll work on the banner.
Okay, do your magic. I was, yes, keep it things, because guess what? It's 11 p.m. I was getting my fajitas ready, but I'm going to be a professional. I'm going to focus on the space. Yo, what are you see, professional, and then obviously that thing happened. What are we discussing today, and why are you so salty in your post?
Oh, I'm not salty. I know that it comes off that way, but that's okay. That's good for everyone because it helps Twitter put people onto my posts. I don't think I'm salty. I think that I'm not going to accept that everything is going to be good for every token just because Bitcoin is high. I think teams need to work harder to deliver more products and value. And I think that the buyers of the tokens need to be smarter. I think that's the main thing. I think if the retail traders, if that's what you want to call them, retail investors, or the people like us who just buy tokens, if we have no standards, then there's no reason for any of the projects to get better. And I don't think they've gotten better, actually, the last 3 years, 4 years. There's just more of them. And I think Bitcoin's gotten better, and I think Solana's gotten better, and a couple others. And I think that everyone else needs to step it up a little bit. It's that's my position. I know there's going to be lots of challenges and lots of failed projects, but that's okay. Just if you don't like my Twitter, then that's good. Just block me and stop DMing me complaints. That's all. No one in here. Just saying.
Yes. No. Fair enough. Also wanted to ask you about your new NFT you bought. I saw some posts talking about why we call it an experiment, and I want to hear your take on that. Yes, that was what I mean.
Oh, okay. No, that wasn't even directed at that NFT collection. I get that the NFT collection has a theme, and NFTs are different than fungible tokens. NFTs are products that you buy, just like baseball cards or like paintings. So I get that they have like a theme. A, it's a lab, It's a scientist. It's an experiment. I totally get that. I thought it was very cringe every time I heard a founder refer to their own project as a non-NFT project as an experiment. And I think that's an excuse for making it okay to fail on the people that bought into the project. So that was just kind of coincidence. It had nothing to do with Mad Scientist. I actually like what they did with Mad Scientist. I like that they kind of did something similar to the ERC 404 thing, where you have like a fungible token that burns into an NFT, and you know, you have like, you could fractionize the NFT with the fungible token and all that. I like that. However, that lab token, my tweet about the lab token was because I specifically asked the team if once that token was burned, if that was it, if the token was gone. And they told me yes. And I said, good, because if there's some weird gimmick with the token, I'm out. I want nothing to do with it, because now you're selling the token twice. And that's not right. So of course, within like a couple of days, there was some confusing tweet about, oh, now you burn the token, you don't have to get the NFT, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? I can't get involved in this. Obviously, these guys are having fun. But for me, I don't have fun when a bunch of people lose money just so one person can make a bunch of money. That's not fun. And if you take away the fun from a lot of the DeFi projects out there, you realize that once you peel back the fun, there's really nothing underneath. So that's what those are, two separate things. And yeah, they're a little spicy, but I call it like I see it. And people need to ask questions and be skeptical, and also need to pressure some of these teams, because a lot of times they get away with just launching nonsense into the ecosystem and then cashing out upfront, of course, which is what happened in this case. And it's not acceptable. Just I'll just move my money somewhere else, and I have a small platform and I could sound off whenever I want. So there are other people like me that maybe give them a free pass, but eventually they'll stop doing that as well. That's what I think.
Fair enough. And by the way, I'm reading the comments. Why pump? Well, I have great news, guys, because this penguin, this NFTs that no one dared to send me one, shame on all of you. Actually, I was surprised because I was on a space on Wednesday and it was like mainly Polygon people, and they were even noticed these penguins, and I was like shocked, like, oh my God, no way. So yes, guys, you're making noise. Yeah.
Also, if people did not mint that, that Mad Scientist NFT, I'm going to put the link down below anyway, just so you could see the launch pad here. I think it's great. And if you know me, I complain about cheap NFTs. I'm not saying all cheap NFTs are just cheap. I like to see every once in a while an expensive mint. And I did sell my lab tokens, but Wrecked Gang, now they're called Babu Penguins or whatever, like some dumb name. And they gave me lab tokens to mint my NFT. So I didn't buy the NFT myself. And when they,
what?
Yeah. So they said, this is what they said. They told me in the beginning, they said, hey, we're doing this NFT collection. We'll get you an NFT. I said, cool. I didn't know they were going to be so expensive. I figured I would mint some and then get the free one and all that. So, I bought one lab token on StreamSwap just because I wanted to see how StreamSwap worked. And then I got airdrop three of the lab tokens for having Ambito's NFTs on Backbone Labs. And I saw the price action. I was like, this is a disaster. Like, there's no liquidity. Let me just sell this so I don't have to worry about the price while I'm sleeping. So I sold it, I think, for like $67 or $70, whatever. And then Rec Gang, Rec Zerker, he's like, hey, I didn't give you the NFT. I was like, oh yeah. So he just gave me the lab tokens. So I minted the NFT, and he said, don't put it on the floor like an idiot. And I said, no, I won't do that. I'm not going to take an NFT that you've basically gifted me. I'm not going to collapse the floor with it. I'm going to hold it. I think the mint is very ambitious, but I like the attempt at an expensive mint. I really do. And
okay, I hope, so this is my call to Serg. Sure. Serg, what is wrong with you? Why I don't have one, first of all? Because guess what? Guess who guessed it that was Red Gun behind this? As soon as they put that tweet, I directly DM Serg and I told him, it's you. And he was like laughing, obviously, like, why you think so? I was like, I can't recognize Rakuto's art. Then when they officially announced it, he was like, yes, you were right. Yes, what is my price? What is my price?
Well, you want to hear my relationship with Rec Gang? You'll love it. So I don't like really them at all. I actually vetoed the prop on Juno to set up their sub DAO. I'm probably the only wallet that you could dox my wallet because I'm the only one that voted no with veto to make Sauce DAO. And I didn't think really any of the Rec news was funny at all. I don't know who did it. It was not like none of it was funny at all. None. Maybe there's like one funny one. But I like the individuals. I like Zerker. I like some of the other guys. I can't remember who else was in Rec Gang, but those guys were fun. I had a lot of fun on Spain. Babu V is, I think, my brother from like another life. So I'm joking with him. I had a lot of fun on Spaces back in the day with the Rec Gang people late at night when I used to be up at like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning with my kid. So, Rec Gang, I like the individuals. I don't like really much else. Also, Terra Spaces is a big fanboy of Rec Gang. We know that. So, it's a little bit of a turnoff. But no, I'm just kidding. I like them. Maybe we'll figure out a way. I mean, I don't mind giving this away because I got it for free anyway. So, maybe we could figure out like an NFT happy hour giveaway for the NFT. And then you'll feel like you're part of it. Is that fair?
Well, okay. It's better.
We'll think of something good, though. We'll think of something good. We'll give it away today. Think of something good. Maybe we'll give it away. I don't know. We'll think of something. But anyway, what do you got going on? How about your 29 partnerships you have active right now? Let's pick one and talk about it.
No, actually, let's gonna go to Babu B, my lovely friend.
Oh, you gave this guy a mic?
Of course.
Hey, guys. Good evening. I just wanted to, I'm going to be real quick. Well, A, no one knows who's behind Babu Pengus. It's not the Rec Gang. And secondly, I think I know what you should do with the mad scientist. And don't tell Berserker that I said this. You should floor the mad scientist. No. You should dump that. And you should get 2 Babu Pengus, one for yourself and one for Maria.
Oh, shit. That's logical. But listen, I never ask for free stuff. I never ask for whitelist normally even. And I was shocked that this was like, I got this. He told me not to floor it. And that was even after he sent me the token. So he trusted me. I said, no, I'm not going to floor it. I'm not. But that's an option. I'll give you that.
I wanted to let that awkward silence continue. I don't know what more to say. I'm going to let you guys carry on and not hijack.
Maria's taking notes. She's like, Joe promised half of a mad scientist. It'd be cool if I could sell it back into lab tokens and just give her 5 lab tokens, right? But I don't think you can do that.
No, you can't do that anymore. And like you said, it's quite important to question projects. And I will say I've been involved with Rec Gang since day one. I was the community manager for a long time too. And I've known these guys for 2 years. And I will still say that it's quite important to question founders. Transparency is very important. I've been very harsh towards Jellyback Labs. And I've been very harsh towards the Rec Gang team and DMs too. And I think when money is involved, and especially when you've got millions of dollars involved, it's very important to you don't really have much empathy for people when they've raised millions of dollars. That's the thing. And whether that's a Rec Gang, whether that's people who I've known and I considered as my brothers and family, I would question them and I would want to make sure that they don't fuck up, because it's millions of dollars on the line over there. You don't have any leeway, any space to mess up at that point. So you have to be on point with everything. The execution has to be perfect. And I think what they did with Mintlabs, Stargaze at the last minute in the last 48 hours, it seemed all smooth, but it actually wasn't. And I know there was a lot of chaos in the background, but I love how it ended up.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to like how it ended up at least. And I shared up at the top. You could check out Mint Labs. So basically, when you mint this NFT, it mints on Osmosis, but then you can go on and sell it on Stargaze. But there is a marketplace on Osmosis. Is that right?
Yeah, there's the Backbone Labs marketplace. And right. I have to say, I think I was one of the first guys to even retweet and share this, that marketplace was smooth. I hate all the products of Backbone Labs. I have to say that. Full disclosure, I'm very biased when it comes towards them because they reminted NFTs. Bro, they reminted NFTs, which I essentially consider as stealing NFTs. But when I went in the marketplace, I connected my wallet, changed the network, listed an NFT, unlisted it immediately because I didn't want to use it for too long. And it was seamless. It was very smooth and it was excellent in my experience at that time. So I shared immediately and I went in the Discord and I said, JG, well done. Can you just sort some of these things out? Otherwise, it's amazing. So I know people consider me toxic or biased sometimes, but no, when someone's done a good job, they have to be told that you've done a good job. But at the same
time, I agree. Yeah. No, I'm with you. We could talk about the BBL stuff probably another time, because I think that they'll be mainstays in the ecosystem for sure. But overall, if I just was excited to mint this NFT, I got my lab tokens, however I had to get them, I went and I minted. It was so good. I don't care what platform it's on. And now Mint Labs is a thing and on my radar as a content creator. So I think overall for Mint Labs, it's got to be good. Maria, like, when are you going to launch a collection and let Mint Labs do the work for you? I think you'll like the experience.
Joe, you might not know, but there's pretty much most of RectGang stuff has been done with Mint Labs.
No, I don't know that.
The Wrecked Bulls on Juno were with Mint Labs, and even the unreveal of the barn that's with Mint Labs and that's been with Mint Labs for the last 1.5 years.
Oh, wait a minute. Maria, we had them on a space. I remember.
And I'm pretty sure that I think there was an NFT that was a soulbound NFT that RectGang did that was with Mint Labs too. I think there were about 30K plus. NFTs, soulbound NFTs that were minted on Juno. This was before the Wrecked Bulls were launched back in September 22, I believe. But I'm sure Maria has experience too, because there was this Christmas charity thing that was done on 4 or 5 different chains. I think Maria may have been involved in that too.
We had them on, I think, shortly after that. I remember that. It was like Polygon, Juno.
I don't remember.
Terra. Maybe it was before Maria was like regularly jumping in these spaces with me. I definitely remember. Mint Labs was on NFT Happy Hour a while ago. It was definitely more than a year ago. So maybe it was like Maria, maybe you were not involved, but maybe listening or just not listening at all. I remember Mint Labs. I guess I probably have.
I don't remember what they did last week, so don't expect me to remember.
I don't blame anyone. Well, here's the other thing. And I see Tank in the audience. Tank, you can give a thumbs up. And everybody else in the audience, I'm happy that you guys are joining, because like where I'm at, the weather's nice and I would not be in front of the computer on the phone listening to me. But the good thing about Mint Labs having this great successful mint is hopefully they got a piece of the action and they could sponsor NFT Nashville. That would be really cool to get another platform to sponsor, because we're getting more sponsors that are not NFT related, right? So because it's so cheap compared to other conferences to sponsor, I guess. So we got sponsors from non-NFT, like completely unrelated to NFTs, completely unrelated. To sponsor, and of course Stargaze is going to be involved and probably others, but Mint Labs, you know, take check, we take USDC, we take wire transfers. Tank is down there. Tank will make you a link.
We should create an NFT happy hour with them, and then you can sell properly.
Oh yeah,
the sponsor.
they'll definitely love it if I did it live on a recorded space in front of a bunch of people listening. They'll definitely appreciate that.
I think you should get in touch with Zerk, Kudo, and JG, because they've just raised a decent amount of money. Not sure how much Mint Labs got. I hope they got a decent amount because they deserve every single dollar with how well they did. But I think you should get in touch with the mad scientists and the teams associated with them to get some funding too.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, I think they work with Tank.
Please don't quote me. Please don't quote
me. No.
Bro,
so while we're here spending...
Homestead's
got some, he's got some cash. This guy sells whitelists in the back alley.
I about 2-3 days ago, I put Homestead, Tank, and Mayor on a list. And it was the list of people that I thought were on the paycheck of Backbone Labs. And I think Homestead has been pissed at me after that.
Homestead doesn't really have patience anymore. So in the beginning, Maria said that my tweets are spicy. And then, of course, I posted in the comments below, Daily Babu, which is like the new Cosmos News, obviously, saying that I'm in a midlife crisis and I'm having meltdowns. But Homestead did not like the Archway Mint at all. I'll give you, I don't mind if I like the effort of launching anything new. But like, if you didn't get to mint that collection, it didn't cost you anything. So why do you care? Like, it's so much worse to buy a fungible token that gets dumped in your face than to not mint an NFT. Like 95% of the time you saved money with NFTs. And the only reason the price is going up probably is because so few people got to mint. If everyone got to mint, the price would not go up the way that it's been going. But I do have, Maria, do we have time to read the official communication from Archway about that mint?
Of course. Actually, I want the tea, so drop it.
You're on their team?
Tea, yes. Give me the tea. It is a saying. Come on. Stop it. Stop it. I can tell you in Spanish as well. Maybe you understand.
I don't think I would understand, but I never heard that expression.
I just wanted to say that Homestead is a guy that is so patient, and he's like got all these Stargaze ruggy NFTs and he like share them. And I understand he's giving light to small creators and he's really patient with them. Like recently there was this cat NFT that got taken off and then was listed again. And when it came to Archway, he did not hold back. He lost his shit completely. And I was looking at Twitter, I was looking at my timeline and I was like, bro, what's going on with Homestead? I was like, this is Homestead. And then like while he was having a go at them, he like mentioned me and he said, bro, this isn't V. Like, I'm not going to be negative at everything. And I was like, bro, okay, I'll let you. And
All right, well, Homestead was accused of immature behavior and basically blowing up over little cartoon pictures of eggs. I'll let him reply, and then I'll read the official statement from Archway.
Wait, I was accused of immature behavior. What? Just, is this news? This what? Isn't news, is it? Like,
no, it's...
I came up so you guys could have at it. I'm not ducking it. Go for it.
All right, let me... I thought it was funny because, listen, in the end, the reason why my tweets sound the way they sound and the way that my face looks the way it looks on YouTube all the time
is because you're old.
And also if you're the customer, you have a right to complain about everything. And in Web3, the biggest problem with Web3 is they don't know what a customer is and they don't know who the customers are. So it's the customer, like the squeaky wheel gets the oil. The customers need to speak up. And by customers, I include the degens, the retail traders, the people that think they're investing by gambling, all those people flipping NFTs, you're the customer. You need to put the pressure on these creators. Listen, if you're the only one complaining like Homestead was, no one's probably going to pay attention to you at all. But if lots of people have the same gripe, you're not going to know that.
Sounds like a lot of people were paying attention to me.
No, I'm just kidding. A lot of people did complain, but my first reaction was like, holy shit, how old are we and who cares? Like, It's a fucking NFT. Like, there's so many NFTs. Why do you want the one that you couldn't get at the mint? You could get it anytime. And if it's valuable, you buy it. I don't know. Same thing with the pilot thing on Kujira, where that team was launching. It's probably like super stressful for them. They're launching a token into the abyss of Web3. All these people line up their bids for the token. Everyone's been talking for weeks about how excited they are for this token. And what do? They put their bids at like a 99.9% discount. Like, stop being so goddamn cheap. Do you want the token or do you not want it? Like, here's the thing. You want to buy it for 99% discount, but then you want to sell it at full price. If you think it's worth full price, you should be willing to pay full price. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. Like, but that's how we are.
Hey, Joe, you want to hear more down bad home pleb shit?
Yeah, for sure. Anything that's worse than what I do is great on this space.
So I went ahead and I understand how Pilot works, right? And so I went ahead and put my bid in like 20 minutes before the like lockout to activate your bid, right? So an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, you were trying to game it. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew like all those people that were putting in the 99% or 98% discount were going to get their bids revoked basically by all the other people bidding, right? And it was going to work its way down. So I picked 90% and I was like, look at it. Like 92% is going to get wiped out here still. Like bids are coming in big time. So I picked 90%, which I think like almost everyone who picked 90% got their bid, right? And I got distracted because I'm a goddamn pleb. And I didn't click the activate button an hour later when I could activate my bid. And I got no fucking NAMI. So Homepleb,
I didn't even bother.
Friday.
If you tell me something like,
this is cool.
This is gamified. I'm like, yeah, I'll worry. I'll buy it in a month. I'm not gamifying anything with real money, but no, I didn't get involved because I thought it was weird. I saw prices of other tokens dipping. I'm like, are people just selling other Kuji assets to think they're early in this other one? I thought about just throwing like $100 just to like say I did it, you know, like, you take a selfie in front of Disney World and all that, or when you go to Peru, you take the big selfie that everyone else takes. I was going to do that, but I was like, I'm too lazy. And I have other tokens that I want to buy. And I haven't been doing too many transactions because I just did my taxes and I just feel dirty because I just couldn't account for 95% of my activity. But let me read the Archway thing. So if people don't know the backstory, Archway is a new CosmWasm blockchain. They did get some VC funding like 2 years ago. And they, you would think of it as like a more corporate version of like Juno or Wawa or Luna, right? Because it's a CosmWasm chain. They got Astrovault, which I'm a huge fan of. I love Astrovault. I hope that there's no like Black Swan incident that's going to take out Astrovault and all that. Because I think that DEX is probably like, they've got the right idea. Anyway, they're going to launch a collection on Amber, right? Amber is the marketplace on Archway. And it's like these eggs. It's like these. Anytime there's an egg or like an NFT that doesn't reveal, people lose their goddamn minds. People need to stop that nonsense. They're creating like suspense for no reason. They know what the NFT looks like. But anyway, this is what happened. The minting contract went live 5 minutes before the scheduled whitelist mint. This enabled some whitelist users to mint via contract. It says via the FE and via contract. I don't know what FE is, but this is from Archway. So basically, like, if you're on the whitelist, you didn't get to mint unless you were there 5 minutes early, is what they're saying. Because they had a pre-mint where people could mint like 25 of the NFT. And I think it was like for people that were like involved in like the actual like chain and the marketplace, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong, just tell me in the comments. But there was a pre-mint insiders and it was meant for giveaways. Got it. So it says this vulnerability resulted in the collection minting out another 2 minutes. Oh no, you minted out in 2 minutes. What a big problem, right? The Archies team, and that was the name of the collection, the Archies, accepts full responsibility for this mistake and is committed to regaining the trust and the support. I don't know what it means to accept full responsibility, but they accept it. And Then they launched a secondary market. So we accept full responsibility for botching the mint, but have at it on the secondary market, right? Secondary market was queued to launch once the collection minted out. So it was automatic, just like a recoil, right? The secondary market launched before the whitelist was scheduled to mint. I think this is funny because, like, during the bear market, people were dying to have their collections mint out. Now collections are minting out and people are complaining that have no skin in the game whatsoever. It's amazing. But I'm not going to read this whole long thing, but it's from Crypto Chem. He's great as far as communication. Like, he's like a docs dude that faces the community. He works for Archway, AstroVault, I think specifically. He used to work for Secret Network. He's got validators. So yeah, in Discord, they have a big long thing all about it. And it says, following industry practices, we over allocated whitelist spots because we only expected a fraction of the users to mint. I think that was smart. It's kind of a new chain, right? Archway, not many people use it. Why would you not over allocate whitelist spots? And all that. And of course, as the goal of Archies was to bring in new people to the Archway ecosystem. Well, that's out the window, I think. But we opened up channels of communication. Yes, they're called support tickets on Discord. And that's it. They minted out really fast and they're sorry. So all the creators that are here that didn't mint out fast, all you have to do is screw up the mint and you mint out really fast and you apologize after. I don't know what to say, but yeah, I mean, listen, it's a new platform. If you don't think there's going to be hiccups because you're spoiled and you use Stargaze on the Genesis day, I don't know what to tell you, but I've been part of so many screwed up mints. I think this is funny. And if you were hell bent on minting this and you didn't get to do it, I get why you'd be upset. But
I have to say one thing, Joe. I'm really sorry to take this back to Mad Scientist, but I think this is where you guys have to appreciate what the Mad Scientist did, what Rekt Gang and BBL, when they got together and said that we are proceeding with the mint, and BBL agreed to step away and let Mint Labs do the mint. And then with the Stargaze secondary marketplace, how smooth everything was. And like, Archies happened just a day or two after, and the way they fucked everything up, and it was fun, and like, rightly so. And right now, if you go on their Discord, the only thing people fud about is, why is the price going down, when I think one of the whales dumped a decent amount of lab tokens. And secondly, the thing that they're complaining about is, why the hell are there so many bubble penguins over here? Why is everyone shilling the bubble penguins? This is a collection that flipped you like a day ago. So stop shilling them. And so those are the two things people are complaining about. But I think we just have to appreciate how that team did it.
Anytime anything goes smooth, like you definitely get props. And yeah, like, they went ahead with the mint date. They passed along the launch pad duties to Mint Labs. I think it was great. And don't forget also, they basically sold out the collection before it minted because they went via this lab token, right? The floor was rising on the NFTs before the mint happened. So obviously that was ideal for the team. The fact that the mint is, I like when the mints are open. Listen, I like when the mints are open for a little while because it gives people a chance to mint. Like, not everybody, and I don't know who needs to hear this, but not everybody sits in front of the computer at 12 p.m. on a weekday waiting to mint your collection. Like, you need a window to mint. But I don't know, like, who sits there waiting for the exact moment the mint goes off? I remember having to do that early on in the early NFT days. I ain't doing that anymore. I don't care how good your art is or how, like, give me a 12-hour window to mint. That's all I'm asking. And I think that, like I said, I think Mad Scientist is very ambitious. It's an expensive mint. It's a big collection. I think that these are good for the ecosystem every once in a while, because like, people can't be expecting these $5, $10 NFTs, they could flip $50 and then not care about them again. I hope that these Mad Scientists end up being kind of like the bad kids, but for osmosis. I think that would be really cool. So anyway, we've got...
100. Good. Yeah, Sorry.
No, again, man.
Interrupt further.
No, no, good. This is your show. Good. What do you want to say?
No, no, just wanted to add that, like you said, very ambitious, and just wanted to point two things out. A, the team didn't, the mint was expensive. However, the team didn't decide the mint. It was the people that participated in the stream swap that decided the price of the mint and the lab token. And secondly, the team could have, like if there was greed involved or anything malicious involved, the team could have delayed the mint because they've already got all the money that they wanted. They've already raised the millions of dollars that they got from the stream swap. So they already have that money. So they didn't have to mint on that specific date. And I know they could have been FUD or whatever, and the price of the lab token could have crashed. But at the same time, that doesn't really impact the team itself because they've already raised the money.
That's so right.
For them to go ahead with that and for them to proceed with that shows that these guys are legit and they want to do something for the ecosystem, and they want to stick to their word that this is the mint date. And even though 50% of the team, which is Backbone Labs, they get screwed on it in a way, and they did get shat on it by pretty much everyone in the ecosystem, but they were willing to take that hit and just to stick to their word.
You know, that, I mean, that's important. And like I said in the beginning, when you sell an NFT, that's like an actual product, whether you think of it as a product or not. NFTs are not the same as fungible tokens. That's why I just think they're interesting. There's so much potential to use NFTs for interesting things that fungible tokens is not appropriate for them. I think we're like not even 1% scratching through the surface, but like this is a unique mint. This, by the way, this Osmosis collection was teased like 2 years ago. I don't know if anyone remembers that. There were supposed to be NFTs on Osmosis. It might have been more than 2 years ago because it was before, long before the bear market started, where they were teasing a collection. And it ended up not panning out for whatever reason. No one talked about it. There's even a Twitter handle for it. And now this is the first Osmosis collection. I think that's really cool. I don't see why every chain doesn't have either inscriptions or NFTs. I think eventually the DeFi chains are going to need NFTs for, you know, concentrated liquidity positions, for vault positions, things like that. Right now, NFTs are just pictures. I hope that continues, but I hope also there's like a side branch of NFTs that become finance positions, let's say. And Maria, you have to raise your
hand. That's true, actually, but well. No, I want to add as well, like, first of all, once again, like, Red Gang show us that they are always pioneers on things, because being the first NFT project on Osmosis for me is huge, and trying a different way to mint is also, we need to appreciate that. Also, very keen on bringing more, and I quote here, expenses NFTs, because if not, we're never gonna be able to see projects or collection like on Ethereum coming to here if we were only selling NFTs for $5. And I forgot what else I wanted to add, so let's keep going.
Why don't we got Chris here. Chris is a creator. He's got a pretty cool collection with a gamey dynamic. There's like a hint of gambling, let's say. I'll let Chris introduce himself as if no one knows him, but I know a lot of you do. And then we'll go ahead with our planned feature project, which is Fight Farm. And Chris, happy to have you, man. And by the way, Chris did an awesome interview with Dark Side of the Podcast on YouTube. That's first of all, that's so much better than my YouTube channel that I watched that and I just stopped making videos now. But yeah, Chris was on there. It was awesome. So yeah, happy to have you, man. I think you've been on before. You've been on before, but it's been a while.
Yeah. Hey, Joe. Hey, Maria. Good to talk to you both. And you know, Maria, we just had a drop about a month or so ago, Joe, and she had two of the coolest Fight Farm NFTs we ever had, I think.
I'm just giving Joe time to think what he's going to reply, hopefully a compliment.
I was going to say, but is it as cool as my number one NFT?
I don't know which is your number one NFTs, but if you don't find
my signature in the bottom, probably yes, it is better.
So anyway, Chris, tell us about Fightful. Tell us, give people like a general primer on Fightform. Pretend like no one's ever heard of it, but I know a lot of people have at least heard of it. And then we'll get into some of the draws for the minters. Okay. And I think we'll talk about Omniflix a little bit as well.
Yeah, so Fight Farm, we are an NFT collection over on Omniflix. We chose Omniflix for some of the multimedia stuff that's coming up because we are promoting a sport-based, game-based NFT collection. You could consider us a little bit gambling, a little bit fantasy sports, but really on the base layer, Fight Farm is a collect-to-earn staking rewards game. Where the gambling or the betting comes in is later on. We mint on demand going into UFC fights, and we sell NFTs that are pegged to a UFC fighter. The staking rewards are paid out based on the outcome of the actual UFC fight, but we also have different versions. So we mint on demand going into the fight, and then we cap that version. So every time that fighter has a new fight in the UFC, you have a reason to go out and buy the new version. As you collect those versions long-term, eventually that fighter will either retire or leave the UFC. If you own one of each version, which has different art and sometimes different collaborations, there is an aesthetic to collecting versions, kind of like collectible playing cards, right? But if you own one of each version, down the road, you'll be able to burn all those versions to mint a legend NFT. And that's truly where the betting and gambling comes in, because I don't necessarily consider Joe and Maria, I don't consider the staking rewards game, because you could technically buy both sides. If these NFTs are between $5 and $20, you could easily buy both sides and play both sides of the fight for very cheap, and you're guaranteed to get a payout based on one of those fighters winning. But whenever you have the legend NFT, you have to think about it from this perspective. You're minting a legend NFT because you burned and reduced the supply of that fighter's versions. And there's no more fights in the UFC for them to earn on, right? So what are you going to use those NFTs for? When you burn it, the legend NFT, you can actually bet and gamble your legend NFT to steal rewards from other players and other fights. But that means you're betting on the other players' UFC fights. And if you win, you get half of that rewards pool. If you lose, then you lose the legend NFT that you minted, and the DAO and those players who were the winning NFT holders, they'll actually decide the fate of that, whether you burn it, whether you control it as a DAO, or whether you award it to a solo player. So it's a mix between multiple facets, but I think it's a pretty cool concept. We're getting really good interest in it. It's starting to kind of catch on, and I'm starting to turn a few heads. Being on Omniflix has been a little bit rough. We don't have quite the volume that Stargaze does, but hopefully people will start to take notice and check us out.
So I had a misconception until I watched the YouTube video with you on Dark Side of the Podcast. It was like a week ago, a little over a week ago. And I thought that when you bought the NFTs, it was just represented like a, you wanted that fighter to win for that fight. And if someone bought the other NFT, they wanted the other fighter to win. And then, you know, whoever won got all the money. But what you do is there's two different things going on, but what you do is more similar to like fantasy sports than it is like sports betting. So I think maybe it's not right to call this. I don't think it's good to call this like sports betting, or if people like me that's called sports betting NFTs, you should probably correct them, I would imagine, if you're an American.
Right. And that's kind of what I was saying, is like when you buy the NFT, you only need one. And if all you ever buy is one version of one fighter, you're almost having equity in their career, Joe. So if you buy, say, John Jones is your favorite fighter, and you buy the NFT that's pegged to John Jones, as long as John Jones has a fight, he might have four more fights left in his UFC career, right? If you hold that one NFT, it's like a share of the rewards pool when we do a payout on based on his win. So in that sense, the more NFTs you buy, the bigger share you pull. Now, that could be buying multiples of the same NFT, or that could be buying one of each version. But as you accumulate different versions and a higher number of NFTs per fighter, your stake in the rewards pool payout is much bigger. And if you think about it from secondary demand, think about it right now. We're going into a bull cycle soon. Some of these NFTs, we have V1, V2, and V3. So that means you've had three NFTs minted for a fighter for three different fights. So if someone comes along and their first NFT for a fighter is V4, your chance of flipping on the secondary, if they really want to get a V1, V2, V3 of that fighter, means that you should probably think about collecting multiples so you can control the secondary market in the future.
No, this is pretty cool because there's lots of different strategy going on, and also like a passive owner could still do all right and have some fun. Maria, you don't have to raise your hand.
What's your question, Maria? How are you doing?
Did I? Okay, if I did, it was a mistake. So, no, I'm just listening patiently. Also, I know that in this kind of project, Joe has several questions, so I'm just waiting for him to drop them.
Okay, awesome. But yeah, Joe, this is kind of a, like you said, it's not necessarily a gambling game because you're not winning money from other players. I kind of consider that as a prerequisite for gambling.
Yeah.
You're earning from the rewards pool. The only time that you're really kind of quote unquote earning from the other players is once you deploy a legend. Now, if you deploy the legend NFT, you're not betting on one of your own fighters fights. You're betting on two other fighters that you don't hold the NFT for. So in that sense, you are taking funds away from those other fighters, but even that is coming from the rewards pool and you only get a certain percentage. So in that sense, that's kind of betting or gambling, but
okay.
You're betting the asset and trying to win and steal from the rewards pool still.
How'd you build the rewards pool?
So every time we sell an NFT, we stake about 55% of every sale. Sometimes that does skew a little bit because like when I do collabs, like the one we just did with Maria or the ones we do with, you know, other NFTs or other projects, we do have to pay those people out. And depending on what percentage they demand, and you know, if they're a popular artist, you know, we try to give them as much as we can because, you know, we do want to reward them for their work. But in most cases, we stake 55% of every sale. If it's something where I do a collab with someone and say like that artist demands 40% of the sale or 60% of the sale, the other 40% to 60% that I get, I'll split it 50-50. I'll keep 50% to myself as profit. And I'll keep 50% that we stake. So it does vary. We have a basket of assets. It's mostly in flicks, but we also hold Archway, Secret, Stars, AXV. And we're trying to build as big and wide of a basket of staking rewards tokens as we can. And of course, we are going to play the market and get into some Bitcoin, some ETH, and probably sell the top in the next bear so we can have stable coin farms. We definitely won't ride the rewards pool tokens all the way down in the next bear market. So some of that's going to come into play with the DAO and how we manage the treasury. But pretty much the treasury is self-funded by the NFT sales. And since you're constantly minting new NFTs for every upcoming UFC fight, you have a constant steady reason to have an income stream to keep growing the rewards pool.
Maria, why don't you do this with your ladies?
Oh my God, I was waiting for you to put me more work, like seriously.
Maria, what are you doing this weekend? You want to create a whole new mechanism for your collectors to make money off of you? Okay.
Actually,
I feel like we need a Women from Cosmos pillow fight edition. And, you know, you have like each woman is a NFT card, then you sell different kinds of
pillows. Oh my God, that's so funny. If Maria went to Cosmoverse, or was it? Osmosis, the Osmosis conference when they did the pillow fights, she would have won the pillow fight just by staring at the opponent.
I could see that.
First of all, I wouldn't participate, to be honest. They have to pay me to do that, okay? And then
all right, she's on vacation when she goes to conferences, that's true.
Yes, I try to. It's my only break of the year, okay? So please bear with me. But also, no, what I'm doing is I'm waiting for something to be built for being able to drop whatever I'm planning next. But yeah, that is the issue. You know, like I don't have the knowledge of building myself. So we have to wait.
Well, the good thing is with Cosmos, we have a lot of tools and great developers and teams building out stuff. So for us, Joe, you know, we originally launched back in the bear market on Juno, and we tested this on DAODAO back in probably the first couple times I ever saw you guys and talked to you was on Rack FM. And, you know, we were kind of like having people deposit the NFTs into the treasury of DAODAO, and we were kind of betting the NFT. But then Juno really wasn't getting a lot of love for NFTs, and we saw how they kind of unraveled. And we decided, you know, we got to go somewhere else. We wasn't quite sure if we should go to Stargaze, if we should go to Omniflix. But wherever we went, we knew that we wanted to be somewhere, hopefully, where DAODAO would deploy. So we've been patiently waiting. So as soon as DAODAO deploys, we will be able to enable the Legend NFT play as soon as we have our first UFC fighter either quit or retire. We will have to wait a little bit. I noticed that Sisla and those guys said that when they launch DAODAO, they won't have NFT staking right off the bat. So right now, it's a hold and play. It's a hold and earn. So if, as long as you don't have your NFT listed, you can earn from the rewards pool. If you list it, you're disqualified from earning, even if your fighter wins. In the future, though, we will have you stake the NFT inside the DAO, and that's going to keep, you know, the NFTs that are earning rewards in the lockup off the market for a period of time. So there will be an unlocking phase. And we will also use DAODAO as the main mechanism to control like what happens to a Legend NFT should they lose. And if you think about it like this, the multi-sig DAO where you can invite players, let's say you bet a Legend on a fight and then you lose, the winning NFT holders that held the winning NFTs, they'll be invited to a second DAO. There will be a multi-sig invite only DAO, and then they'll be able to decide the fate. And they'll, you know, I think it's gonna be interesting to see like how many people would vote to be like greedy and reward the Legend NFT to themselves or a random person versus how many people would say, let's control this Legend NFT together inside of a DAO. And then what if you have multiple people or multiple DAOs that start to get interested and start fighting over who controls a Legend? I think this could really blow up into something that becomes more of a team-based strategy game.
That's interesting. Okay, cool. I was going to ask a question more about UFC. I used to watch UFC all the time back in the day. Marie, I don't know if you've ever watched UFC, but it's I just don't like boxing outside of Mike Tyson, right? And UFC, I got to meet some of the guys that were involved in like the early-ish days of UFC before it became really mainstream. And now they have UFC events like, I don't know if it's every week, but it's a lot. Like it used to be like every other month or every month. And now it's like, it's quite often. Yeah. So how do you choose which NFTs you make? Are you only going for like the main card of certain events? Because I would imagine, you know, just like, just based on like the platform and how new what you're doing is, you're not going to have like thousands of people like waiting to mint like these undercard fighters whom you may never see again. How do you choose who you,
right?
There's one tomorrow, right?
Exactly. Okay. There's one on May the 4th. There might be another one coming up, a fight night on ESPN or something. But we do have cards coming up that we have NFTs minted for already for May the 4th, June the 1st. June 22nd and June 29th. And you're right, Joe, you could use any sport as a catalyst for this style of gameplay and selling NFTs. But if you had chosen golf or basketball or football or soccer, you're subject to those seasons. UFC is one of the only things that has a constant flow they don't have an off season, right? So every single month, you wouldn't want to have football and then have a 4 or 5 month lag in the off season where you can't sell NFTs. That's an awful business model. That doesn't mean we won't go into other sports later, but we chose UFC specifically because of the constant demand to sell NFTs almost every single week of every month. There's at least 3 or 4 events almost.
Yeah, there's a lot, man. You just have to wait a long time for these things. And
Yeah, you usually just have to wait like two or three
months. Yeah, it was like every other month if you're lucky. And I feel like there was like the same guys fighting. Like I feel like there wasn't as vast of a roster.
That's a massive.
Yeah.
Right. So then it comes down to your second question on how do you choose who to go with? Obviously, we go for the big stars. Like you're going to know that even if people didn't want to burn an NFT and they're like a collector, like they have that kind of, you know, that collectible you know, thing. Like, I want to hold it forever and never burn it. And I don't care if I earn with it. It's just, I'm a big Conor McGregor fan or whatever. So I think that part of it plays into it. We try to get big stars, but we do try to curate and see, well, who's up and coming? Who's on a winning streak? Like, who's going to make for a good game? And because it's just myself and my partner, and we don't have a huge team or a lot of money allocated behind this NFT collection, we can't possibly do every single fight. Now, if we could grow this in the future and eventually there's demand for the game and there's like a growing community and you have some sort of like NFT sale or some sort of outside investment, maybe you could potentially do every fight. But one thing that we keep in mind is if you buy an NFT now, you want to see that second version, that V2, that V3, that V4. So even though we were trying to just do one or two fights per month, as the collection has grown, there's times where we have to host a third, fourth, or fifth fight because you kind of want to follow up on those previous fighters and get those additional versions because of the collectability factor and the future minting of legends. So it's kind of a crapshoot, and we're really just trying to keep it a minimum amount of fights to keep the rewards per NFT win at a decent standard so you don't feel like you're losing money. But at the same time, you know, we're just kind of like playing it by ear and just going with the growth. And I think as soon as the bull market, if and when we get there, as soon as those token allocations that we have in the treasury go up, we could potentially host a lot more fights because the rewards should be a much bigger dollar value to split between fights.
Okay, cool. All right. I was going to extend the invite to people in the audience. Hey, come up if you've got a question or drop it down below. Wabi, man, I know you're a UFC guy, I'm pretty sure. If you got a question, please feel free, fire away. I want to try to end this in like 5 to 7 minutes if possible. So if anyone else has a question, don't get to you or we can't squeeze it into the audio version. Like, I'm sure Chris is happy to answer anything on the thread at some point this weekend.
Oh yeah, they can message me anytime. And up in the nest, Joe, you'll see that I pinned a tweet. That tweet is a Google Doc that anyone can view. And what it does is it shows you which fighter NFTs are pegged to which UFC fighters, how many versions they have, whether they're one version ones, version two, version three, they're kind of color coded. And then to the right hand column, you'll see like the upcoming fights. We'll have the dates and the UFC number, and you'll know which fighters you should be looking for their NFTs because they have actual fights upcoming. So hopefully that helps kind of give people answers just by looking at that Google Doc. But feel free to message me anytime if you do have questions.
Yeah, Wabi, man, fire away. And then I think Tank accepted a mic. I just can't see him. But yeah, guys, fire away really quick if you guys got questions for Chris.
What cologne do you use?
This is actually an important question, and I'm sure Tank wants to answer it too.
Oh, man. I'll be honest. When I was a kid, I used to love Calvin Klein, but I don't use cologne at all now because my allergies. I live in Kentucky, and my allergies are awful. If I smell cologne or perfume, I start sneezing my ass off. So,
Hold on, man. Did you say you're from Kentucky?
Yes, I am born and raised.
Do you know how to yeehaw?
I'm not that kind of Kentucky. That's more in Tank's neck of the woods down in Nashville.
Trust me.
I never heard Tank yeehaw.
I heard Tank give Joe a noodling invite. When next time he comes down, they're going to go noodling.
Oh, I would love, dude. I would love to do that. I feel like that's like the one thing I'd be really good at without ever practicing.
Do you want to hear my yeehaw?
Do it.
I want to hear it right now. If you do it, I'll give you a free NFT of your choice.
Hey, listen to this. Get ready, man.
I think that cut out for me.
Did he die off? Did he die when he tried to do the yeehaw? King Wasp, speak.
I think he just hacked over a wall. So I heard a big...
He killed his mic.
You cut out.
I did?
Tank, fire away. Quick. I got to jump off. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, guys. Go check out Chris and Fight Farb, guys. They have a new IBC gang version up. So that was fire, man. I just wanted to give him love. I think his project is fucking awesome. And I loved it. I loved your interview.
I have one question, man. Yeah, shoot. So So look, I'm 26, man, and over the last like 2 years, I've been getting some.
Get the hell out! 26. How are you even old enough to have a computer?
How is that normal? Like, I'm getting back hair all of a sudden, dude. It's so weird, man.
You're not 40. Like, you're not 26. I'll tell you that.
Testosterone.
Like, it's strange. It's growing. I can feel it growing. I don't like it.
Are you taking testosterone? You're taking testosterone, aren't you?
He's definitely
no. No, but I probably will have to start that pretty soon, man.
Your testosterone might come from Kentucky because that's what they give to the horses out there.
No, but I'll be going to BTC Nashville though, so.
Hit me up, Bobby. When you're down there, hit me up.
Hit up Tank.
Yeah, bro, I will, man. Are you going, Joe?
I 100% plan to go, and I cannot go this year. It is a no go, and I'm very disappointed. But I hope you have a blast, dude. You're gonna freaking love it. And if you guys can connect, Tank,
I will definitely.
Chris, I was saying, Chris, how far are you? Because the first time I went to Nashville.
I'm in Louisville, so
okay. I didn't drive, so that's like Western Kentucky, kind of like from
about 2.5-3 hours from Nashville. Okay. So we'll because
I drove to Nashville from New York, and I think Louisville would have been a little bit out of the way for me. I think I went through West Virginia.
That's a long drive, Joe.
Yeah, I went through my family in West Virginia, so I stopped. That's like halfway, and then I continued on, and I went through Lexington, and then ended up in Abraham Lincoln's house and then down to Nashville. So
that's awesome. Real quick, guys, so Tank is one of our first sponsors. He did donate to some of the rewards pool, so you guys can give him a hand for that. He helped fund some of the rewards that we give out, so big props to Tank. Definitely follow him on IBC, and we do sell the IBC versions that we do, but one thing that I've committed to Tank that I'm going to do is once per quarter, that means four times per year, we're going to do giveaways where we don't charge any money. You can get two fighters that are IBC branded. So look out for those free ones. You only have a day or two on Twitter to follow us and to claim your free ones to win some free money. Thanks to Tank. And we will sell the IBC versions, but you'll get at least four free ones per year. So just make sure you get your free ones. Take us up on that.
Joe, why aren't you going to Kentucky Nashville BTC?
I don't even want to get into it on this space, but just say it was like a black swan. Let's just say it was a black swan. And you know, NFT Nashville was supposed to be that week, and me and Tank, you know, I'm actually happy Tank was flexible. I'll tell you privately if that's cool, but cannot go. My plans for the next like couple months are just out the window, but I will go to Nashville in November most likely. The problem is I'm going to have to bring my whole family. Whoop, whoop. So there's that. But hey, Chris, if you think there's ever any kind of partnership or like way that I could like kind of promote via your collection, I have some stuff that I'm going to be wanting to promote in the next couple of weeks. So I would love to connect and, maybe get some themed NFTs out there and sponsor or do what Tank did and add to your prize pool.
Yeah, we would love to do that. And we'll definitely be happy to work with
you.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. Be
a big part of our promotion. So definitely appreciate it.
Cool. And Maria, I feel like Maria should have the last word. And I want to hear Maria's take on UFC as well, actually, before we tune out. I'm curious if she watches.
No, the only thing I watched was WWE.
Ah, well, that's acceptable.
Batista, yes. When I was younger, and that's it, my take. But no, as someone who worked also with Chris, I have to say that it was like pretty cool. And I really admire like how you build all this gang around the project. I think it's pretty unique. And also, as you said, like really clever to align with a sport which continued right along the year. So with that being said, guys, you must follow Chris. You must keep an eye on everything. He's been collabing with different projects, which I think is pretty cool as well. Always like bringing more eyes and mixing different projects and universe. And I will call it a day. Yo, I have to drop off as well. So
no, this
happy
is good.
Weekend.
Yep. And if anyone in the audience,
thank you, Joe.
Thank you, man. Thanks. Anyone in the audience, Joe, thank you guys for coming. I hope we get more involvement next time. Maybe we'll leave some just space to like open mic. But yeah, we got guests next.
Joe, sure. One last thing. So based on what we had when you and I were on the podcast, he offered to host a live stream for this May 4th, the fight coming up. So him and Bella will be doing, I believe, live commentary on the UFC fight. So if anyone wants to join us and you like Scott and you like Bella,
nice.
Come on their show, watch the fight. We'll be doing giveaways of NFTs that night. And you can really learn more about the project by hanging out with us. And I think that hopefully that'll become a very common thing because Rack FM said their biggest podcast ever. Their biggest space ever was for a UFC fight. So I think it's one of those things where you don't have to necessarily be a fan to get together as a group of people who love crypto and love NFTs. It kind of gives you just that event that gives you a reason to get together every now and then. So
yeah,
join us for that coming up on May.
That's 4th. Cool. Yeah, no, I'll pencil that in. That'd be awesome. Maria, I know it's late for you, but it'd be cool if you got involved. If you like WWE, you're going to like UFC. It's cool.
She'll like it. And you know, when Maria does her next collab with us, maybe since she's such a WWE fan, her women from Cosmos, Fight Farm Fighters should have Lucha Libre mask.
Ooh, so love
sexy
it.
Ladies
yes,
with
Lucha Libre
some masks.
Mask. Yes.
That'd be awesome.
Also, Maria, you'll find out, everybody else in the audience, you'll find out if you're not a UFC fan. If you watch, a rear naked choke is not as exciting as what it sounds like. We'll end on that.
Put it on somebody. It's fantastic.
We'll end on that.
Hey Tank, we should do some jiu-jitsu stuff on the week of the fights. We should have some sort of contest where if anyone wants to get in on the mats with us and try to choke us out, we should let them try.
That would be awesome. That would be great.
Guys, have a great weekend.
I'll hit up Clay.
And Chris, man, thanks so much, man. And I'm gonna reach out to you as well, maybe on the 4th. That's next weekend. We'll have some fun.
Awesome. Yeah, y'all have a good night. Have a good weekend. See ya.
That it is.
There's this principle in like Taoism. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts for getting out of fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yam, Beto, and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile over here rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee jerk, more evolution, less shit coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terror spaces.